Welcome to Lexington Christian Church. It's good to be back in the building for those of you who have been out for some reason or another. But it's good to see all your smiling faces and good to know that there's people at home watching us also. So we'll start off looking at what we have in our going on this week. We've got the adult Bible study on Wednesdays. We're going through the book of Thessalonians, I believe it is. And it's an interesting study. You get a view of how people in the early church days were persecuted, and makes us think that, you know, it's not such a bad thing to have to wear a mask to go to church, because those people put up with a whole lot more stuff. Upcoming events, LCC Christmas caroling on Wednesday, December 16th at 6 o'clock. Chip needs to know who all would be interested in doing that by 3 o'clock tomorrow to see if we have enough members that are willing to do it to make it worthwhile. Meaning, I guess, Chip doesn't want to sing by himself. So if you're interested in... he's shaking his head over there. If you're interested in the Christmas caroling, let Chip know before 3 o'clock tomorrow. Ladies Fellowship, Christmas cookie and ornament exchange will be Saturday, December 19th. At 6 p.m. in the Activity Center. They've got plans to do the social distancing, and I know that if you're bringing cookies, each cookie has to be in an individual sealed package. So they're trying to do all the things to make themselves be safe from the COVID thing. Okay. Cellophane or anything, just don't have a whole pan full of them like normal. I'm going to miss that. Not that I went to the cookie exchanges, but... Ah, there you go. Yeah, I put on the Facebook page about it, said, I'll take leftovers. But the Christmas candlelight service will be Sunday, December 20th at 6 o'clock. So that's always a beautiful thing around here, and I think Chip's got some extra special things planned for that. I think that's all the things in the happenings section. See, I already talked about the caroling by 3 o'clock tomorrow. Oh, in the Activity Center, there's a thing looks like Kathy and I stole a post office box from the corner of some street here in Lexington. No, we did not. She made that out of cardboard. It looks like a real post office box, but we are not violating any federal laws. So, if you have Christmas cards for anyone here in church, just drop them in that box, and they'll be sorted out, and you'll be able to get your Christmas cards. But that, again, is kind of try and keep our social distancing and keep ourselves safe. I think that's all the announcements I've got. On our praise and prayer and thought list, Faith Garner had her surgery, and I thought I heard that she was doing real well. Haven't heard anything else, but I think she did really well through the surgery. Had some pain from it, but the outcome of that was good. Anything else we need to know about on our prayer list? Okay. Well, then we'll take a moment and we'll find someone that's on the prayer list that you'd like to be in prayer for, and we'll have a moment of silent prayer on that, and then I'll close this time of our services in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do lift up all the folks that are on our prayer list. There's lots of folks on here that have had issues with their health or losses of family members. But there are also a lot of good things on our prayer list. Faith Garner's surgery went well. Miss Bobby's surgery went well with her eyes. We've had a lot of good things, a lot of answered prayers. And at this Christmas season, we just come to you in this time of year to thank you for all that you've done for us, but again, to lift up those who are still on our prayer list. We thank you for all you do for us. We thank you for giving us this place to meet in, to worship in, and to sing our songs of praise to you. All this we lift up in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. How are you? In a beautiful day in Lexington, Tennessee, and in this church, isn't it today? Amen. We want to welcome everybody that is here, and also a special welcome to all of those that are joining us online via Facebook Live. It's now time for us to take communion and remember that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Please know that this is an open communion. This is God's table. It's not our table. And you're all welcome to participate. As you come forward in a few minutes, we just ask that you put your masks on as you get up from your seats. Come up the side aisles and then drop off your offerings or tithes if you choose, and get your cup, and then go back up the center aisle, and that just will reduce any traffic flow problems that we might run into. And then after everything is done and the message is over with, we'll have communion together. Pastor Chip will lead us in that. You know, earlier this week, I was looking for a Christmas story for meditations. It's that time of the year. And I was having trouble finding something, and I guess it was last Thursday night. I was having trouble sleeping, and so I woke up 1:30, 2 o'clock, like I usually do. And I just sat on the edge of the bed, and I grabbed my phone and turned to Facebook. And just right there, the first thing I looked at was a really nice little Christmas story. And I thanked God immediately. And then I immediately copied the whole thing and saved it because I knew it would be gone as soon as I turned off my phone. But when I showed it to Anita, and she looked at it, she gave me that sign of approval. So I knew it was, you know, it's a pretty good little story. It's written, it's about a little boy named Nicky. And some of you may have read it, actually. It wasn't a popular story. I didn't see it from anybody else but my Navy buddy. But it's about a young man named Nicky. And it's written in the first person, so I'm going to read it like that. Earlier this week, well, hang on. In 1979, I was managing a Wendy's in Port Richey, Florida, and was searching for someone to work just 3 hours a day, only at lunch. And I went through all the applications, and most were looking for full-time work or 20 hours a week at the least. However, I found one buried at the very bottom of a stack about 4 inches, and it was a young man only looking for lunch, part-time work. So his name was Nicky. When I called him, his mother answered. He wasn't in, but she assured me that he would make it on time for the interview. So the next day, at the appropriate time, Nicky walked in. It was one of those moments that caused my heart to go up in my throat. Nicky suffered from Down syndrome. His physical appearance was a giveaway, and his speech only reinforced the obvious. I was young and sheltered, and I had never experienced being around anyone with that type of illness. I had no clue what to do, so I just went ahead and conducted the interview. Nicky was a wonderful young man with a great outlook. He was task-focused, and he was excited to be alive. For reasons only God knows, I hired him immediately for 3 hours a day, 3 days a week to run the grill. I let the staff know after Nicky left that day, and predictably, and perhaps a little sad, the crew made sure that I got the message, we don't want to work with, and I'll paraphrase here, the R word. To this day, I find that word offensive. We had a crew meeting, and I straightened him out, cleared the air, and so we prepared for his arrival. Nicky showed up for work right on time. He was so excited to be working. He stood at the time clock, literally shaking with anticipation. He clocked in and started his training. Nicky could not multitask, just one thing at a time, but he turned out to be a real machine at operating the grill. Now for the fascinating part. Back in that day, there were no computers. You know, there were no computer screens. Every order was called in or called back to the people making the sandwiches by the cashier. It required a great deal of concentration on the part of all the production staff to get the order just right. While Nicky was training, during his first shift, the sandwich maker next to him asked the grill man, says, "What was that on that next sandwich?" Nicky replied, "Single, no pickle, no onion." A few minutes later, it happened again. It was then that we discovered that Nicky had a hidden and very special talent. He memorized everything he heard. He had photographic hearing. After that, every sandwich maker requested to work with Nicky. He was immediately accepted by the entire crew. After his shift, he would join the rest of his crew family, and he loved fountain Coke, so he would drink Coke like it was water. And it was then we discovered something else that Nicky was really special at, almost, the word here is Rain Man-esque. I'm not sure what that's right. But anyway, it says Nicky was a walking, talking, perpetual calendar. You could ask him any date, and he could tell you the day of the week. They would sit for hours asking him, what day of the week was December 22nd, 1847? And he would tell them, and he never missed. And it just mesmerized the whole crew. His mom would come in about 2 o'clock to pick him up. And more times than not, the crew would be back there with him, just hamming it up and talking and having a great time. As I went to get him from the back, his mom said something I will never forget. She says, "If it's okay, please let Nicky stay as long as he wants. He has never been accepted anywhere like he has been accepted here." I excused myself and dried my eyes, humbled and brokenhearted, actually, for the lesson that I had just learned. Nicky had a profound impact on that store. His presence changed a lot of people. And today I believe with every fiber of my body that Nicky's hiring was no accident. God's timing and his will is perfect. So during this Christmas season, it's important for all of us to understand what we're celebrating. In some ways, we are all like Nicky. We have our shortcomings. We also have our strengths. But we are all of value. God made sure that, you know, God made us that way, and God doesn't make mistakes. Nicky certainly wasn't a mistake, for he was a valuable gift that the writer of this story will be forever grateful for. We are celebrating this season the birth of the one that leveled the playing field for all of us. God doesn't care if you are rich or poor, black or white, Republican or Democrat. He doesn't care if your chromosome structure is perfect. He doesn't care what level of education you have attained. God cares about your heart. He wants us all to love and appreciate the gift that he gave us, his son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, our salvation. His son was born to die for our sins, to pay for our debt, and provide us the only path for eternity in heaven. So during this Christmas season, let's check our hearts. I suspect that there's a Nicky somewhere in all of our lives who's looking for the chance to be embraced. Thank God for that gift, and thank God for his perfect gift, Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we come to you humbly on this beautiful day in your house to sing and to worship you, and remember that your son, Jesus, sacrificed his life on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. Oh, Lord, please comfort those in our midst who are suffering. Please offer them peace, courage, and strength, and help all of us renew our faith in you. Please guide us, O Lord, and help us to approach life like the young man Nicky in our story. Touch our hearts and spirits and help us to think of others rather than ourselves. Help us to spread your word, O Lord, and just place us in the paths of those who need us. We ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Again, we apologize. We just had a technical difficulty there, and thank you for those of you in person being patient with that. We we want to make sure that everyone is able to join and be a part of our service. So sometimes you just have little hiccups you have to work through. So we are currently in a series that we are entitling Rejoice. And its reason for that is we need to rejoice right now. 2020, again, we iterated it last week. You already know about it, so I'm not going to rehash anything. It's just been a tough year. And our hope is that even in the final weeks of 2020, we can find a reason to rejoice. And that reason is Jesus. No other thing can truly cause us to rejoice than Christ the Lord. And that is my hope and prayer, that we begin understanding some things that will help us rejoice. Last week, we looked at how to rejoice that nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary discovered that with her interaction with the angel Gabriel and the message that he had for her. And, of course, she had some questions, but the biggest thing that the angel helped her understand is that nothing is impossible with God. That if he wanted to bring a child into the world in a supernatural way, he could do that. That was God. Because, remember, while we would love for God to do the impossible in our everyday circumstances and such, listen, God's will and purposes are behind everything that's impossible. So always remember that God can do the impossible within His will and His purposes. This week, we're going to take a look at another part of rejoicing. And that is that we can rejoice that good news arrives when we least expect it. You know, I think that's an important aspect to understand, is that good news can arrive at any point. For instance, one of the most unique things of a theme verse that we're looking at is a very simple verse, and it comes from Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. And in some ways, I don't even really have to even open my Bible to it because it's so easy to memorize and such. So it basically goes like this: Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Come on, church, why don't you say it with me, okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And we want to find those reasons to rejoice. And nothing brings us a reason to rejoice than when we get good news when we least expect it. I tell you what, many of you have probably experienced that at some point this year, if you really look back and think about it. I can think of some folks that have shared some stories with me of some good news they least expected. For instance, I can't help but recall, and I hope this is okay to say, but Miss Sandy Freeman, when she got the call that her son was finally going to be reunited with his family in England. That was good news. It was a little bittersweet. Of course, but it was good news for the family, and they did a fun little video of him surprising his son. It was just a wonderful thing. You can think about the times where you've gotten good news when you least expect it in so many different ways. For instance, a promotion in a job. When you get the opportunity to spend time with your family, when you have the opportunity to find out that you're a player that's a free agent, has signed with your team, that you love it. When you get a call to say, hey, listen, man, we'd love for you to come play with us in our band. We need some help. Or there's so many other different ones. But obviously, a couple of the special ones are when you get a card from someone when you least expect it. When you hear about an engagement of someone when you least expect it. And of course, one of the more anticipated ones is when you get a notice, whether it's a phone call, maybe it's a video message, or maybe you see something on social media where you see a dog or a little boy or a little girl standing next to an ultrasound because someone's expecting a child. That is one of the greatest news that we receive when we least expect it, when a child is born. When a child is expected. And then, of course, there's many different ways. You know, some people will have pictures of the ultrasound. In a few months, obviously, there's the gender reveal. And there's so many creative ways now that people have come up with those kind of reveals. For instance, some people will bake a cake, and they'll have it either a blue or pink on the inside, and they'll cut a slice, and that's the gender reveal. I've seen ones where somebody takes a ball that's loaded with a powder, and that powder is going to be blue or pink, and they toss it, and somebody hits it and it explodes, and you know exactly what the gender reveal is going to be. Multiple different ways. There's so many creative ways in which people have done this. But one of the more exciting things, obviously, is when the baby is born. Because sometimes, guess what? That baby comes either before or after the due date. How many of you actually had those ladies here? Obviously, us guys have no clue what this process goes through, okay? All right, I thought I'd get more laughter out of that one, but that's okay. But I'll tell you what, you know, ladies, how many of you had your babies right on your due date? Two out of a number of adult women here in this room, okay? It's rare, but it's cool when it happens, but it's rare. And so you never know if it's going to be a couple of weeks before or maybe a week. You hope it's not going to be too much long after the due date, obviously. But it's good news. Now, let me go ahead and just clarify right now, Megan and I are not expecting a baby. Just in case anybody was getting the wheels turning, wondering if I was going to do some sort of big reveal, I'm sorry, I'm not here to bring you that kind of good news today. It would be very unexpected. Trust me, it would be very unexpected. But there's nothing more that just raises our level of joy. It allows us to rejoice. And for Mary, obviously, this was news that she didn't expect. But there was something about, in the message of the angel Gabriel, he said something very interesting that piqued her interest. And that was, in those verses right before, that the angel said, with God, everything is possible. With God, nothing is impossible. He mentions her cousin Elizabeth. And it's a part of the Christmas story that doesn't always get included, and I thought I would share that today. So take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Luke again. We're going back to chapter 1, but we're going to look at verse 39 and pick up in the story there. Because I think it's very vital and important that we understand this aspect of the story, because it goes along. Here is Mary. She has received this news, and God is doing his work in her. And at this point, she is wondering about this message when it comes to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, if you're not sure, it's earlier in Luke, but she is the wife of Zechariah. He is one of the priests. He had gone into the temple to worship God. He was chosen then during this season to go into the temple, offer up the prayers for the people of the Jews. And during that time, he had the same angel, Gabriel, come and visit. He was right there and explained to Zechariah that, listen, your wife is going to have a child. We don't know how old Elizabeth is, but some would speculate she was either in her 70s or 80s. And the angel said she is going to have a child. And he did not really believe the angel. And the angel said, well, if you don't believe in the power of God, then I'm going to shut your mouth. And you will not be able to physically speak until this child is born. So, roughly for 9 months, he's not going to be able to talk. But Elizabeth did become pregnant. And now the angel said she was in her 6th month. And Mary was curious. So let's pick up in the story at this point. In Luke chapter 1, verse 39, and read to verse 45 on this part of the story. So follow along with me. You can. The words are on the screen. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country, to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. For why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Well, that's quite a greeting. All of a sudden, when Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, and we don't know what that greeting was. We don't know if there was any kind of formality to it or all. But maybe it was just a simple, Elizabeth. And then all of a sudden, the baby leaped in her womb. Now, we can all speculate what kind of leap this was. Maybe it was just a woo. I mean, how many of you have ever... Obviously, the ladies know about this. How many of you have felt a child move? Whether it's you or for the guys, just put your hand here, sweetie. Okay? And sometimes you might feel a movement, a kick, but a leap? We don't know what this baby was doing. We don't know what kind of leap it was. Maybe it was just a jump like you're on a trampoline, or if it was just a flip. We have no idea, and I'm exaggerating, obviously, but the understanding is that when Mary's voice reached Elizabeth's ears, there was something special that happened. And then we're told the Holy Spirit came upon her, and she gives this incredible greeting to Mary. And imagine, here's Mary. She is more than likely realizing she is pregnant. The fact that Elizabeth says so. And the fact that she's probably still pondering all the different things that she's going to have to experience and go through when it comes to maybe being a social outcast or having her husband be upset with her. Or many different ideas and thoughts that could be going through Mary's head. And these words right here had to be a comfort to Mary. Because here's first Elizabeth, she goes and says, blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. She goes on to say that, why in the world would you come to me? You're the mother of my Lord. That's got to be the Holy Spirit revealing these things to Elizabeth. That the baby leaped in her womb. And that all of this, that Mary was willing to follow through with God's leading and God's purposes. See, here's one thing that we need to know about God, and in a moment's notice, is that the Lord moves in us through the Holy Spirit. And we recently spoke about that. We did a series called The Ghost. And in that series, we talked about the roles of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit's purposes and mission was all about. How the Holy Spirit reveals truth to us, sets us right with God, keeps us on the same trek and path that God wants us to be on. And therefore, it's important for us to understand that at a moment's notice, and whether you least expect it, God, the Lord, move in you in a moment's notice. Whether, no matter what you're doing in life. And I hope and pray that when we think about those moments, that we would follow through on them. It's what Mary did. Mary followed up on what Elizabeth said to her in the next verses. Now, what's interesting about this is that in most Bibles, it's titled Mary's Song of Praise, the Magnificat. And what's interesting about this is we don't know if this was something that was Holy Spirit driven, that she said this immediately. So that's how we kind of read it sometimes. Or maybe while in the period of time she was with Elizabeth, she was crafting this and wanting to share it. And so what I'd like for us to do is to read this particular part of what Mary said. But it doesn't sound like a young girl in turmoil. It doesn't sound like a young girl that's stressed out or nervous or scared or worried. In fact, it reveals quite the opposite. Let's read together, starting in verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." Sounds like someone who's grateful. Sounds like a young lady who was willing to take on quite a burden. But it would be a holy burden. It would be a burden of love, a burden of anticipation. It would be a burden that she was willing to take on, because she knew that this child was special. Not just because it was hers. Not just because of God's message, so to speak, either. It was because she was willing. And she wanted to be used by God for such a time as this. She wanted to be the one that God would work through and move through in this regard. And not only that, but it would be the Spirit of God that would move in her. It would be the Spirit of God who would bring forth this tiny child within her. And that leads me to my next point that talks about how God's Spirit moves when we least expect it. From Elizabeth's greeting to even the angel appearing to Zechariah, her husband, and their miraculous birth. God's Spirit moves when we least expect it. And it brings us joy and gladness within our hearts. You know, God's Spirit moves in so many unique ways, and I was trying to think of an illustration of what would I share, because there's so many. There's so many stories out there of people being put in the right moment at the right time, given the right words to say at the exact point. And it's a beautiful thing. I can think of different times in my own life. But the one story that came back to me constantly was one actually that's in the Bible. And if it's okay, I'd like to just kind of share it with you. It's when the early church was getting started, and the people of the early church had faced their first true persecution. It was after the stoning of Stephen, when the church was scattered. There was a great persecution that broke out. And so many of them were scattered to different areas outside of Jerusalem. And though the accusers and the detractors of this movement were no doubt happy that they would think they were finally putting a stop to all this nonsense about Jesus, actually, it turned out that was God's will. See, another disciple that we hear about is a man named Philip. And Philip was among those that were chosen by the apostles to become basically deacons in the church. But as they were scattered, Philip was sent by the Spirit to different places. But there was one instance where Philip was taken to just the open road. And as he saw, a chariot was coming. And it wasn't a chariot from around. It looked like it was from another nation. And it turned out it was the nation of Ethiopia. And there was a gentleman in the back of it, and he happened to be a royal official. And he was, obviously it wasn't too loud because he was reading. And he was on this chariot, and he was reading. And obviously you could probably hear him speaking out loud, reading. And the Spirit of God said, go to that chariot. And so he went, and he yelled out, and can you, for whatever odd reason, can you understand what you're reading? Not a, hi, how's it going? Hey, what's going on? And it's like, hey, can you understand what you're reading? And the man said, no, I have no idea what this is talking about. And so they slow the chariot down, and Philip gets up on there, and they're riding along, and the gentleman was reading a passage from the book of Isaiah. And he goes on and says, I don't understand what this means. And he reads a section of it, and part of that section said, he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And the Bible says from there, Philip took that passage and began to share about Jesus. And he carries him through the life of Jesus at that point. Well, as the chariot's going along, the Ethiopian looks and says, oh, stop, look. There's some water. Why can I not be baptized? And so they stop the chariot. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch go down into an area where there's water. And there Philip baptizes him right there. He didn't wait for to go ride with him all the way to Ethiopia and do this. This man was convicted so deeply by what Philip had to say that he stopped everything and gave his life to the Lord, was baptized. And it says when the Ethiopian came up out of the water, Philip was gone. Like, boom, just like that. Because the Spirit took Philip to another area where he needed to preach the gospel. But can you imagine, when you least expect it, God moves. And he moved in Philip's life. He's moving in your life. And it's a matter of, as long as, how open are you to being, letting the Spirit move in you? I was looking at a scripture this week that talks about how in moments we need to rejoice. In moments that we just need to take time and just, at any moment, just come before God and allow His Word to soak us in joy. I came across Psalm 96 as I was looking. And this particular psalm has a same kind of tone to what Mary was saying. Listen, it's the whole chapter is 13 verses. If you don't mind, I'd like to share those with you. And I hope and pray perhaps they would kindle you or add to the joy that you're already experiencing. It says the following. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations. His marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before Him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. And shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for He comes. For He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in His faithfulness. Rejoice. Rejoice, Lexington Christian Church. Rejoice, those of you watching this morning. I pray that maybe somebody's greeting would bring you joy. Yet the day of my birthday was really, in some ways, a typical work day. I had a few extra things had to be done. And when I got home, I actually wound up taking a nap. I was a little tired. But as we were getting ready for dinner that night, I started seeing something buzzing on my phone. It was a FaceTime message. Really wasn't expecting it. Turned out to be my brother-in-law, Joel. And so I answered it, and lo and behold, I see his face, he sees mine, and we kind of make faces at each other. And we started talking, and they were wanting to reach out to me and wish me a happy birthday. I got to see my niece. I got to see my new nephew. He was getting a bath. And saw the mom, and yeah. Baby was decent. It's okay. And so, and then obviously lots of different things took place after that. Wound up getting a tour of the house, all that good stuff with the video. And but it was just nice and unexpected, and it was pleasant, and it was good news. And it made my day for them to take the time to do that. And then I just sat down recently and looked at all the messages and of people that I've come in my path, and just totally in awe of just how technology allows us to stay as connected as it does. And you just can't help but be thankful. See, we need to be thankful, too. Because here's what I know. It's a good news when we hear the announcement of a birth. It's good news when we get a present at Christmas. Our good news came over 2,000 years ago. That's our good news. Came in the form of a baby. That this baby would go through a unique birth, and we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. But this baby wasn't just an ordinary baby. He would become the wonderful counselor. He would become mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, our King. Not the King that would rule from a palace, but a King that would rule in our hearts. A King who would come to not just rule on this earth, no, or start to be the next King of Israel, no, He would be the King of the world. For His kingdom would have no end. His kingdom was an eternal kingdom. And therefore, let me encourage you, church, by saying, let's rejoice in the good news that our King has come. Our King has come. The King has come. Elizabeth understood this through the power of the Spirit. The mother of my Lord, my King. And as we think about that, and just that's what we want to wrap ourselves with as we close this time together. Rejoice. Rejoice, church. It may take time because, again, this year has been difficult. It's had its struggles. It's had its share of things that have gone wrong. It has seen its share of people and special parts of life taken away from us. But no matter what, it is not going to rob us of our joy that we find at Christmas with the birth of Jesus. It's my hope and prayer that Jesus has come for you. He's come for me. He's still trying to come into someone's heart that needs to find a new way to rejoice. So rejoice in the good news that our King, that your King has come. And He still is looking for those who will be open to Him. Again, I said it like last week, I believe. It's not the fact that Jesus has come into our lives, but that He has come. He's welcomed us into His. Will you welcome Him today? I hope you will, as we take this moment and pray. Gracious Lord, as we think about this story, one that's not as said as often, but it's still true. It's my prayer, Lord, that You will help us know when the Spirit is trying to reveal to us aspects in our lives that are void of You and desires to be fulfilled. So, Lord, I pray that You will stir in our hearts and allow us to move in You and allow You to move in us so that we can truly be connected to You again. Bless You. We love You, Lord. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.